Let's take our Bibles and look together in Jeremiah chapter 26 as we continue our reading commentary through this Old Testament prophet, Jeremiah, whom the Lord raised up to declare the fall of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple in the latter days of those kings of Judah. And here we see the opposition that Jeremiah himself faced over the message that the Lord gave him to declare. We're going to read from verse 1 down to verse 16, and that's probably about as far as we can get. But here we read, in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word forward. Remember, Josiah was the last of what we would consider the good kings of Judah that sought to tear down the idolatry and reestablish the law in his day. But it was to be only for his time, because after that, his son, Jehoiakim, would take over the throne, and Jehoiakim would bring back everything that his father destroyed. King Jehoiakim, that's mentioned here in verse 1, he came to the throne about 609 years before Christ, and this would be about 4 years, actually, before the first Babylonian invasion. Nebuchadnezzar came down 3 different times into Judah and took out each time some people. And it was the last time that he actually destroyed the city and the temple. And so this is this time frame that we see here. And Jeremiah's message that's described here in chapter 26 seems to be the same message that he preached back when we were reading in Jeremiah 7. But in this chapter, we see particularly the response, the antagonistic, hostile response that this message received. But you notice here, the Lord told him, because it says here, this word came from the Lord. That's who God's true servants represent, the Lord, not men. And so in verse 2, thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house. So this was to be a public message, and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house. So here are all these coming from cities about to the temple for their feast days and times of worship. And the Lord said, you stand in that court and you declare all the words, he says, that I command thee to speak unto them. And you notice what the Lord says to him, diminish not a word. So this was to be a public declaration for all the cities of Judah. And that Jeremiah, even as the Lord had told him before, not to fear their faces, but to say everything that God had given him to say. All that I command, do not diminish a word. That's good instruction for those that are the Lord's servants, even our day. Not to alter a word. We're heralds of the King, and we declare exactly what he has said. But the Lord tells him in verse 3, this is not a popular message. If so be, they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. So even here, the Lord is showing his mercy in calling these once again to repentance, even though God had already purposed their destruction. If anybody questions whether or not the Lord is faithful in what he declares in calling sinners to repentance, and somehow want to find fault with God for his judgments, here's a clear declaration that no, the problem is with man. if so be they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way. That's what repentance is turning toward God, even faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, is what Paul wrote there in Acts chapter 1. But here's a clear indication that man, even hearing the clear commands of God, will not repent, will not turn, even though that command is given. And so God is just when he leaves men to their devices in condemning them. But nonetheless, here in verses 4 through 6, the Lord says to Jeremiah, "Thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord, if ye will not hearken to me." See, there's some people that say, well, God ought to just leave the choice up to man. Well, here's an indication of what happens when he does. "If ye will not hearken to me to walk in my law, which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, then shall I make this house, that is that temple, like Shiloh, and I will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth." There it is again. If your heart is hardened and you will not hear, that's man's issue. The problems with the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So left to themselves, when it says, if you do not listen, the only way that any sinner is going to listen is if God gives ears to hear. But here God had already purposed their judgment, their condemnation. So he said, I'll make this house like Shiloh. There's where you have to remember a little bit about the history, going back to 1 Samuel chapter 4. And even in Psalm 78, 56 through 64, it describes what happened at Shiloh. God caused that place to be conquered and destroyed by the Philistines. It was where the Ark of the Covenant rested until the Lord caused the temple to be built through Solomon. But when the Philistines came in, they killed the priests, they captured the Ark of the Covenant, and Israel fell, and the glory of the Lord departed from Israel. And so what the Lord is saying here in verse 6, he's reminding them of that history. Anybody that was a Jew alive in this day would have understood and known exactly what took place. So the Lord promises to make Jerusalem and the temple just like he did when the Philistines came and took the Ark of the Covenant away. Some people question, well, how could God do that to his temple? Well, it was being violated anyway. And so the Lord purposed it for destruction. Then in verses 7 through 9, that's where we find now the opposition coming from the priests, the prophets and the people over this message. It says here, so the priests and the prophets, there were other prophets in the day besides Jeremiah, but they weren't declaring the word of the Lord. And all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Now it came to pass when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people. Notice it's always from the top down. It's the leadership that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him saying, thou shalt surely die. He was not preaching this popular message that's being declared today. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. No, he was declaring the holiness and justice of God against everything that defiled his glory. And so these questioned him in verse 9. They said, why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying? That ought to be a warning flag right there. This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant. And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the Lord raises up his servants, many times they're called upon to stand alone against all of the opposition. That's what Paul wrote about, that if any person will live godly in his day, that he's going to suffer persecution. Live godly how? Live to the glory and honor of God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see them here gathered against Jeremiah. This is a foreshadowing. Jeremiah is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. They would do the same thing to our Lord Jesus many years later, some 500 plus years later, when our Lord would come into the temple that was rebuilt and stand there in that court yard and declare himself to be the Son of God and the Savior of his people and chase out those money changers. And they want to know by what authority he did what he did. They stood against him. And here we see in verses 10 and 11, when the princes of Judah heard these things, then they came up from the king's house unto the house of the Lord and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. You think, well, they're right there in that temple. All the glory of God that it represented, they sat down. But what did they do? They plotted the death of Jeremiah, verse 11. Then spake the priests and the prophets unto the princes and to all the people, saying, this man is worthy to die. Does that sound familiar? What they did many years later to our Lord Jesus Christ when they cried, crucify him, crucify. They plotted his death right there in the synagogues and in the temple in Christ's day, just like they did here with Jeremiah. It says, for he hath prophesied against this city, as ye have heard with your ears. They idolized that city. They idolized the temple, like so many do today with their buildings and representations of religion. And they think that God somehow is pleased with it, when in reality, they're under the wrath of God. So, Jeremiah, the Lord strengthens him to speak. It's like the Lord said to his disciples, don't think ahead of time what you're going to say when they drag you into those synagogues. Then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes and to all the people, saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words that ye have heard. That's the answer when people question, well, why is it that you're so hard on religion? Isn't it a good thing? Not when it's idolatry, not when it stands against the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore now amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against you. We find this in Scripture. Yes, things are ordained of God, and yet he calls on sinners. He doesn't invite them, but he calls on them to repent and renounce their evil ways, renounce anything that has to do with self and self-glory and self-will. And the Lord says he would repent him. This is human language, second time it's used here in this portion. But we can understand a change of mind. We know God does never change his mind. He's never reacting. But as far as how we look at it, it appears to be God changing his mind, as he did with Nineveh when Jonah went and preached. And God spared them, granting them repentance for a season. But here's the Lord. He will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against you. The Lord has never condemned any sinner that has turned to the Lord Jesus Christ and renounced his own ways and his own will and own glory. Because that's where salvation is in Christ. But unless the Lord grants the Spirit, his Spirit, to give repentance, none will. He says, as for me, behold, I am in your hand. This is interesting. While Jeremiah here is giving a defense of why he has declared what he is, yet none of this moved him. He said, here, as for me, here I am, in your hand. Do with me as seemeth good and meet unto you. Such was the courage and strength and grace that the Lord gave to his prophet Jeremiah, that he knew that the outcome would be just exactly as God had purposed. And that's a good way for any of us to view our state in this life and our lot, to know that it's of the Lord, and that we can say, even here, when put into the hands of wicked men, do with me as seemeth good meat unto you, because he knew they were going to do nothing more or less than what God himself had purposed. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ did. He commended himself to his Father, who judges righteously. And therefore, he did not fear. Here I am in your hand. And then he says in verse 15, but know ye for certain that if ye put me to death, ye shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth, the Lord has sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears. There again, we see a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, that in crucifying him, they slew innocent blood. They slew righteous blood. In fact, Pilate three times tried to get out of it. I find no fault with this man, and yet the Lord had purposed that he should be delivered into wicked hands and crucified. But nonetheless, this was the peace that the Lord gave to Jeremiah, that whatever the outcome, it would be all right, that they would be putting innocent blood to death and bring condemnation all the more upon the city and upon that people. That's what the Lord said as he went to the cross and those women were weeping for him. He said, don't weep for me, but weep for yourselves, because this city, this house, your house is left to you desolate. But that's what the Pharisees, such was their arrogance, they cried out and said, his blood be upon us and on our. And it certainly was, when 40 years, a generation after Christ was crucified, the Lord, again, by the Romans, brought a total destruction of the city of Jerusalem and the temple to such a degree that now over 2,000 years later, it still lies in ruins and will never be rebuilt, because it was to be done away, having been fulfilled in Christ. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the one upon whom the true temple is being built today. So we'll stop in verse 16. Then said the princes of all the people unto the priests and unto the prophets, this man is not worthy to die. What a change. Who changed their heart? Who changed their mind? Well, it was the Lord. It was not God's purpose that Jeremiah should die at their hands. In fact, as you read on, the Lord spared him and took him down into Egypt, where he died of what we call natural causes. And it wasn't because anybody took his life. That's an amazing thing, considering their antagonism here. But there were some that the Lord purposed to be kind and spare his life. He said, this man is not worthy to die, for he has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God. Now, that doesn't mean they stopped pursuing him. But at least here, we see how the Lord spared him from what they had purpose to do. We'll stop there for now. Gracious Father, I thank you for your word. What an encouragement it is to know that even when men revolt and rebel against your word, against your prophets, even as they did against your son, the Lord Jesus Christ, nonetheless, you rule and overrule. And we can rest in knowing that when we're in your hands, there's nothing that can touch us, move us, or harm us but what you have purposed. I'm thankful that you're such a sovereign God, working all things according to the glory and honor of your Son. And so I pray that as we continue our time of worship, you would bless us as we meet together in your word. And to give you the praise and honor in Christ's precious name. Amen.